It just doesn't end here. I like to do that type of work, but it doesn't depend on that person, you know? Some like to go east, you go like to go west, I like to go south.
I'd like to ask Mr. Lee one thing.
Did the
father have been involved in this Wong Hing event from the
Yeah, do you remember this event? Well, this was 1914, so it was very early. And when the general Wong Hing from China and raising funds for some revolution.
For Sun Yat-sen.
Yeah.
I know Sun Yat-sen. He knows Sun Yat-sen.
He knows
long
Sun Yat-sen.
Time.
Oh.
In fact, he eat with him.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
one
yeah.
of the his store, and Sun Yat-sen was in the Chinese Masonic Lodge.
Right.
Oh.
I see. So
yeah.
He was involved with that.
He knew him very well.
How many times has Sun Yat-sen come to Los Angeles?
He lived in China. First he went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
From Hawaii he went to San Francisco. And then he hide in Los Angeles for quite a few months.
Where was
right?
he hiding? Do you know?
Masonic. In the Chinese
Masonic? So that's on the Apple Plaza Street?
Yeah. They eat together all the time.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Uncle Joe, how are we going to handle this?
We know that he was in the Diesel Guang. In fact, one of his old friends, the Wong, this Paul Wong, used to have a market in Central Avenue.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he and Sun Yat-sen were like this, and my father and Miss Wong, Mr. Wong, are like this too.
Uh-huh.
So Sun Yat-sen went, when he overthrew the Manchu, Sun Yat-sen went back to China, and this Wong, and went back later when in China, but he don't like the idea, so he came back. So.
I see.
Yeah, I know this Wong.
Okay.
Oh.
By the office, you can see that. Or
what is this? This is a large.
It's a large plaque, and it's from some
general.
This is probably General Choi, huh?
It's 1934. Someone walked in the office and immediately recognized it.
Oh,
well, we should come down and have a look at it.
They thought it was a very important general or someone from China.
Uh-huh.
But it was Mr. General Choi. It was more like 38, so maybe it's somebody else.
1934.
Oh, okay, well, we probably
we better check.
Recognize that later.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we wait until...
Yeah.
Kind of give a little history here.
Okay,
yeah,
not
great.
Really
that'll be good.
Some of the things that maybe when what they were discussing, you know, when they're saying they're not quite sure when... My mother was here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Stanley is now is about 60 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we subtract like 1982.
Uh-huh.
Subtract 60 years from that. That's about 1922.
Right.
He came over about maybe 1 or 2 years old. So
uh-huh.
they probably came over about between 1923 to 24.
Uh-huh.
That's when George came over with my mother.
I see.
Okay. You know, if you take a look at the pictures,
yes.
and you
mm-hmm.
add a couple years to it, so. And then Stanton was born in 1927, right? I don't want to add the age there. I know. So I'm just
now,
saying.
I was wondering how old was Mama when
this
she got married?
Mama, if you take a look at her picture, I would think
Africa.
That Mama was about anywhere between 19 to 20 or something, in the early 20s. Just take a look at her picture.
She was the, how many were in Mama's family? There was 10 or 11, and she was the oldest one.
Oh,
at
I
18 or something. She was the oldest one.
Well, she never did talk to us about too much about her family. You know, when she married into Bogota and then Safan, you know, whatever she had prior to that time was history. She's now part of the new family.
Mm-hmm.
So we had very little information on her side of the family.
Uh-huh. Did she ever sort of mention about China? Yeah, want to go back to China or?
I think. For all people from China, they definitely want to go back to China.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Including your father?
Oh, yeah. My dad, I guess, talked to all of us, and I guess as we're going older, they said, you know, your responsibility is to go back to China, you know. When we were growing up, China was in a bunch of turmoil. You know, he got out of there when they had the revolution, fighting the Japanese and all that. And his hope was, you know, one of these days China would become strong again.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we had the opportunity to to do that, he's saying, well, if we have the technical ability, we should go back there and help build up the country.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of independent where, you know, whether it was the nationalist government or, he said, to build up the country, that was his thing that he wanted to do.
But he never had a chance to go back.
No, he did not. My mother had an opportunity to go back there. You know, she visits the old country.
She did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what year was that?
It was after the war years.
Was that right?
If you think of our family, when we grew up, you know, we were, I guess, George didn't point that out. And the only reason he left, he has a little health problem. The long he talks, you know, he's losing his, I guess.
We understood that.
Okay, so he,
Johnny was telling us that.
So, but the key thing, you know, when I kind of think of the way we grew up, and I guess,
why don't you tell me how growing up as a second generation?
Well, let me kind of tell you, let me just go through this. If I think of, you know, I was very close to my father, okay, because I was one of the youngest boy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the girls really didn't enter into it, so Lily was with my mother, right, all the time. So I had the opportunity of going down to old Chinatown. I slept in the herb store there.
Mm-hmm.
Put a cot out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the upstairs, which, you know, mostly George and I guess BenQ slept up there.
Who?
BenQ,
our
uncle.
My mother's
brother.
My mother's brother.
Yours?
Uh-huh.
I see.
Uh-huh. And they kind of ran the shop. My dad, you know, we were living in 1019 Crocker Street, if you remember that. How do you like that? Okay.
Wow.
So when George says that you lived across the street next to Wan Jin Lao,
that was
a short time.
Yes, that's before we moved out of Chinatown, because we were originally, when my folks came over, they settled in Chinatown. And this was, when they said across the street from the herb store, we were across the street, but you couldn't go directly across. You had to go around the street there. And we lived upstairs. And it had if I kind of remember, we had one of those old time radios.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little door there, and I swung on the door. I remember knocking it over. But those are the, you know.
Were these wooden or brick buildings?
These are brick buildings, exactly the way you've seen it.
Okay.
We had a little balcony out there where you kind of look out. Not very deep, but you can go out there and you can
see. How many rooms was the house? Do you remember? Stan, do you remember?
I think it was just a two-bedroom, but to get underneath it, I vaguely remember going through it.
You got
a dark semi.
You got to come through an like a little
alley,
and then you go upstairs. Okay.
In the center,
and it's not really a ton. It's all these old buildings, you know. It's kind of alleyway, and then you go upstairs, and you go into your, you know,
the sheltered thing, so the rain doesn't fall on you or something.
Mm-hmm.
No. Like here's a building. All right, you have to go through the building, and then.
But the building is connected, like
this. That is correct.
Yeah, that's what he meant by shelter.
Maybe that's how the tunnel rumors started.
Yeah, that's
stuff like
yeah.
that.
And remember, I always remember that every time the train goes by, the building would shake. I would even actually definitely know.
So we lived there until we were, let's see, we moved into Crocker Street when we were going to, what is it? Grammar school. I started grammar school there, so we must have moved when we must have been about 4 years old.
You never went to school in Chinatown. No, I did not.
He did.
Okay.
I did not. So
it's
if we
Macy
think of the time.
Street school. That's where
okay, we've heard that before. Where
okay.
was that?
On Macy Street. You know, there's still the Macy Street
yes.
right there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, by the. Okay, at that school, it was kind of. It was a grammar school, and I guess it was a junior high school and high.
No, I don't know.
Okay,
no,
because it had a swimming pool.
It had
there.
A swimming pool there.
Okay.
They threw us into the pool. But there was actually a swimming pool there.
Was that part of the course for physical education?
I don't know.
That's
how you learn
how to swim.
No, that's
so.
Lucky because a lot of kids didn't get that chance, especially Chinatown kids.
Well, if you think of the Chinatown in those days, there was the school that they had swimming and a playground. And then to the right of it, they called this Ma Ya, big playground, of course. And not only that, they had a tree that had caterpillars on it when the seasons were.
Is that right?
Yeah. They have gobble cho.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I remember kind of playing, that was when we were little kids. But that was a Chinese community when they think of Chinese New Year, they have the firecrackers, and everybody is very close. you know, if you think of just looking at the area, with you don't really associate with the Caucasian. We didn't know how to speak English until we went to, we
public
migrated
school.
To public school in down in 10th Street.
Uh-huh.
I didn't speak English.
Did you remember playing marbles as one
yeah.
of the games?
Marbles
is
one
great.
Of the key games.
And,
all that.
And what is it, milk,
yeah.
milk tops?
Kick the can.
Milk top.
Kick the can.
That
was the most
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Well, oh, tell them what milk top.
Well, wait, let me just maybe a little more color of the old Chinatown, the way I remembered it.
Good.
Right.
You know, years ago when they burned firecrackers, Chinese mm-hmm. New Year, they used to have rolls of firecrackers, you know, maybe 20 or 30 feet of it.
Okay.
They burn it. You know, they just burn it.
They'd hang them from the second floor.
Floors,
maybe,
yeah.
And
then
go.
The street would be thick, maybe at least a couple inches thick with firecracker, you know. Sometimes you have to water down because they would catch fire and all
uh-huh.
that. And the thing that was kind of interesting was that my dad, every now and then, he used to order food.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go across the street from Alameda Street,
mm-hmm.
and you would tell him, he would walk there and order. And later on, someone would carry a tray of food. If you have never seen food being catered in, okay? And then what they would have, I remember, they would have like a little roast beef, a little rice, you know. And he used to love the beets.
This would be
beans.
Caucasian food.
It's
Caucasian.
Chinese. It's a Caucasian food, but the Chinese kind of like that.
Oh.
Okay, so there's a Chinese cafe, and I was trying to remember.
Well, we have more.
That was the cafe. Was Charlie Chan's?
No. Charlie Chan is directly across. Okay. They had that cafe had little rolls and little biscuits, but this other. Cafe across the street
across
from
the street, on the
street.
Left-hand side.
Yeah, and that was very good food. Bai used to love to have the beef. He would order a dish of that, and we would all kind of share, you know, to
uh-huh.
get a little taste.
Is it Su Chow Cafe?
I don't remember, but when they brought it over, the guy would come, bring it over, you know, and bring it in and lay it down. You know, I think it must have been 25 cents or 30 cents. That was a lot of money in those days.
Then we'll bring it into the store or the fair.
No, they brought it into our store.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Anything close to here?
If this was looking on Alameda
Street. We think this is Alameda, that was identified,
okay.
But this is like maybe 10, 20 years earlier. This seems to be kind of a...
Well, I remember there was a cafe across the street.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember, I kind of thought it was more like...
Good.
I'm not quite here's sure. It just don't look like.
Here's a shot of Grandview Gardens, which was on Alameda.
Do you
I guess
remember
that
time.
It may be. I, you know, when I was so small, I didn't.
There
I
was a Grandview Garden is on Alameda. Wasn't that? Was that one?
Grandview
that was
Garden,
a Chinese
right.
restaurant. Though.
Well,
I
think
really
there was several restaurants there.
Yeah.
And then you know they could order from different one, but the picturesque thing was that you order and somebody
they
would
carry
it. They bring it to you. Or drive.
Carrying a big tray.
Big tray, and then they would stack it up, and they would have biscuits in there, these, right? And you kind of remember things like
it's
that.
It's a metal tray with a cover on top.
Yeah, a lid.
It may not have been that big, but you were small. It looked big.
It looks bigger.
You remember a lot about, like, Chinese New Year's, but in those days, did they celebrate some of the other holidays, too, throughout the year in that grand style?
It was Chinese New Year was the grand style. That was
the holiday of the year.
Yeah.
How about like
they
say,
celebrate for about 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember that
they closed down all the stores and
I
stuff.
I don't think they closed down on one day. But generally they would open up, but you know it would be very low. Well, Chinatown is very low key anyway. And I remember Ba used to have a little pot and they have these narcissus growing, you know, with little rocks. They have incense burning and they have kind of...
Chando, there was something.
Well,
was
they
Chinese
know, well, they have
New Year stuff.
Yeah, they have these, you know, various things for Chinese New Year. It was a big event in those days. You know, you maintain the custom. Everybody not
did they hang the sayings outside the store and stuff like
yeah,
that?
And then they believe in giving lacy.
Because we used to go down there.
I guess you all remember that.
Yeah, lacy, everybody.
And how about the business of debts having to be all paid up by New Year's Eve? Was that still something that they worked hard to do?
I think some people, but my dad was such a nice person. I think he took a lot of things on credit.
I see.
And we never, okay, and George didn't mention this, but you know, one of the reasons why we were, when they were moving the shops from old Chinatown to new Chinatown, we were building it, mm-hmm. my dad was was instrumental in getting this whole thing going, okay, with Mr. Lapham. Mm-hmm. And, but yet he really didn't have any money to select a shop in Chinatown because, you know, he didn't have the money up front to put down.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought it was, maybe it was like $1,000, and we did not hardly have any money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that owe him, you know, come on and my children, when they need the herbs, you know, oh, I don't have the money, I'll pay you later. You know,
mm-hmm.
those days your herb is in a depression.
Right.
Yeah.
So he would accept the money. So we had very little money. And the thing that maybe I was leading up to it was that George, at that time, knew Swan.
Uh-huh.
And Swan knew this so-called Mr. Govern,
mm-hmm.
who was looking for people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those days they were fighting the Japanese, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was a good movie. And that they had this movie, Too Hot to Handle,
mm-hmm.
with
Clark Gable.
And they were looking for a girl
mm-hmm.
to get into that part. Well, Lily was very instrumental thing. They selected Lily as being the lead girl. Well, if you're talking about fate, you know, how my dad moved from Hawaii to San Francisco, from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
How did they come to connect with, say, Lily? Was it Govins who
well,
knew
no,
that
Swan.
Your dad had?
Swan knew and said, well, we need some extra for this, and maybe we might have the people. Lily interviewed, got that job, and that got enough money for us to get a good start, the same enough down payment.
Wow.
For the new Chinatown
new shop.
Shop.
Okay, so she was, you know, when you're talking about, okay,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell her too much of this, okay? And Stanton probably knows a little more about this than I do, okay?
I never knew that, did you?
How can you keep it yourself?
It was all my doing.
It wasn't all your doing, but you can help contribute to.
Everybody contributed to the family.
So
of course, at that time, that the community, whoever get together to build a new Chinatown, probably liked very much that your father can get into it too.
Well,
because he helped.
Well, he helped, but the you know the bottom line on the thing
the
is
money.
That if you don't have the money, you don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our shop was the last shop available, and they gave us so many more days if you don't come up with something, and then, you know, we finally negotiated something.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only herb shop into New Chinatown at the start.
At the start, that was the initiation. So the if you take a look at Chinatown from where it is, from the left to right, from our shop, we sold it just
mm-hmm.
very recently. But we started from the top was like Yangui.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They had the jewelry shop,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and then right next to them they had somebody that mixed out food.
Uh-huh.
They sold out already.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then they had Lim's Cafe,
uh-huh.
and then he was a
dentist
from years ago, but he really did not have a degree or anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he was a practicing dentist, and,
uh-huh.
and then he made that in a coffee shop, and then they have
Manjin
Lao.
Uh-huh.
And they were, of course, they're the one that had a ton of money, right? Manjin
uh-huh.
Lao and the
oh,
people
yeah.
in there. We were the poorest one, and they had the Suhu's was that next to us.
Uh-huh.
That was initiation of Chinatown that was coming up.
The very beginning.
And then, of course,
your gift shop location, though, is where the herb shop was.
That is
right?
correct. That and then when we moved up, we had all the herbs on the top floor like we did in
mm-hmm.
old Chinatown. We had seen some of the old pictures of us. We had all these shelves and all these things. And that was very interesting how we grew up. But when you talk about poor Chinese family, you know, I think we were the poorest of them all.
You could have been very rich like others if weren't that
rich in reputation.
Rich reputation, yes.
But very poor financially. Everybody, I think, if you kind of think of it, everybody had maybe some sort of transportation. We didn't own our car
mm-hmm.
until George, you know, maybe that's going downstream, somewhere along the way, you know, we managed to struggle along in Chinatown, and we all kind of grew up, all of us kind of worked, Lily worked in the movies, and Stanton got some parts in the movie too.
Yeah, that's right, he was
Charlie Chan.
Charlie Chan
movies?
Yeah, tell them about that,
the parts that you were.
Well, there's like Charlie Chan at the circus. I was one of these like number five son little kid, you know. And,
our gang?
Well, that was the other one was Fisherman Wharf with Bobby Green. I was one of the bad Chinese kids. You know?
Oh yeah. These were talking parts, huh?
Yeah. It's still there.
again, it's Mr. Gummins who was always arranging for this sort of thing.
Probably so. There must have been some sort of Swan. A connection.
Yeah, it's Swan with Miss Govan, and he actually...
It's Govan's through Swan, and then Swan into the community. Is that
yeah,
about
that
the way
right.
it was working?
Yeah. Swan was kind of like a houseboy for Mr. Govan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, because he had no place for this, so he was Mr. Govan. But yet, Mr. Govan was looking for extra... He was the guy who was looking for the extra interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Those days, they needed these people. You're within the community, they said, well, we like them in there. So these are the, you know, the previous movie type people. Maybe we should get their signature here, autograph. But in growing up in Chinatown, you know, I guess from there, from Chinatown, when we tore down Chinatown, we finally got the shop in New Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we moved down to 10th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I guess from my standpoint, that's where I learned how to speak
English.
And,
what motivated the family to go down to 10th Street?
It was a house that was available.
I think it's in the 1934 earthquake. It might have been that because after,
well,
not quite after that, we moved.
Well, when he said motivate, they was tearing down Chinatown. We had to
yeah.
go somewhere.
Basically,
yeah.
our business was still up here in the city center, and yet you folks moved
the,
down.
I think because
to that
the
area.
The there was more of the Chinese community in
mm-hmm.
around 10th Street.
There was an established Chinese community. That's the closest.
And there and all you really need was to take a streetcar from where we live directly to Chinatown. You know, it was about maybe half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really. There was no community developed in the New Chinatown area. In fact, that was
mm-hmm.
a very rough Mexican and Italian area.
So no Chinese lived, or at least no Chinese families.
Well, at the beginning,
area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or we were not aware of it. Okay, because
okay.
you know.
You
were
a man on the Chinese.
Yeah, we were so young.
Pop.
Okay, so all we ended up was around 10th Street. Okay, I guess
when you were start moving to the 10th Street, this door still in existence in old Chinatown?
Oh no, that was torn down.
So right away torn down, you moved to Quaker Street, and then you already moved directly
yeah.
from old Chinatown. This door
yeah,
moved
the
directly to the new
in
Chinatown.
In 1937, we moved into the new Chinatown area.
So there's no interruption. I mean, store continues the business.
Well, there was, you know, that moving.
Just
say,
that part.
Yeah, the
not that
yeah. Once the Union Station or the people that you know that those people there wanted Chinatown torn down, so they made that into a railroad depot there.
Mm-hmm.
So they want us out. But
I think Dantong was one of the longest continuous stores, isn't it? The 1800s all the way down.
Well,
this is before your father got into it, right?
Yeah.
The store itself.
The store itself. Well,
the
you
store
gotta
itself?
You almost think that like Wang Jinlao. That's
uh-huh.
that's a long time family type thing.
No,
right?
But this is longer. This is from San Francisco.
No, Dan Xihong was here here
it's
in
here.
Los Angeles. There was a.
How old would you guess that?
About
100
years old now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, about 100 years old.
Early 1880s, you think, that herb shop, as an entity?
I would say maybe at least 1900.
We still have the big Chinese herb shop sign my oldest brother had there. You want to take a picture?
Oh,
you
yeah.
Will you let us do that?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you. It's so heavy. It's a big
one. No, well, Stanley moved it into
the society. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
I know. That's where I offered
it. It's a very nice
plaque.
Someday we'll take it. Let's put
yeah.
it that way. Because right now we don't really have a place.
Yeah. It's
except our garages.
Picture, yeah.
But we sure would like to do that as part of
uh-huh.
the...
But if you think of the family growing up, you know, I guess maybe some of the questions would be asked is that, you know, were there prejudices as we were growing up? And I guess I didn't really feel it per se.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I understand that, you know, when we finally moved from 10th Street back into Chinatown, back into the Chinatown area and subsequent to up in Kensington,
mm-hmm.
yes, I found out that there was, you know, it was very difficult for us to buy into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were the first Chinese community moving into the Kensington area. That's
by
Echo Park.
10th Street, you still had not bought. It was just
rental. Yeah, we were
okay.
rental there. We rent when we were in Chinatown. And finally, the family began to get a little more well,
okay.
you know, through a lot of hard work.
But was it also because maybe it was very hard to buy?
No, no, they were very reluctant to. Well, they were reluctant to sell unless you're if you're in the Chinatown area, I think they may sell to you.
But outside of that.
Yeah, we were in the Kensington area. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? The Kensington Highlands or something like that.
That should be members.
Well. I think we were the second family that bought into the area. The first one was the G family.
George G.
And we're the second family, and mm-hmm. they were very reluctant to sell things at that
time. Okay. Place. This was in the, was it 1940?
That was the early 40s.
Early 40s. That
after
was
the
that
war.
No, that was
that before the
war?
That was during the war years. Yeah, because George, when he took over, George.
Well, 1945, 46.
No, it'd be before that, because 41.
No, because that's
42.
When I started high school.
41, 42, 41.
We can find.
No, junior high school. I was. We were living in
Chinatown. The picture we took there, with the service and thing, that
was during
that
the
was
war 40. Year. That
so
was.
I, because I remember going.
Right.
From Kensington, so that was in the 42 to 40.
Yeah. Well, the person that was very instrumental in, let's say, financially, you know, moving the family ahead was George.
Uh-huh.
George was the businessman of the family.
Uh-huh.
My dad was very socially very good, but not much of a businessman.
Huh.
I think
no,
adequate.
He was a good businessman, but he was concerned with the community. I can't say you can mix one with the other.
Well,
I wouldn't separate that.
Probably
how
put more emphasis
yeah.
on
yeah.
the community
yeah.
activity.
I think
he would have slowly bought out the other people.
You see, in the families in Chinatown, I think, like the Man Jin Lao family and so forth, the business was so large that they can support the entire family,
mm-hmm.
whereas ours was a small herb shop.
Mm-hmm.
So then we know that we can't all fit in there, so we went out.
Mm-hmm.
You had to work out.
So we grew out with it, you know, went to junior colleges and university and so forth. And
was there a great emphasis in your family on education then, or was...
Definitely.
Did you folks just realize you had to do it?
There was a direction, you know. You know how the Chinese are. They don't say per se, but you know.
You felt it.
No, there was.
You went to Berkeley.
There was definitely a direction to push to get an education. Even if a boss said you don't have to get an education, and George pushed that. And you know, maybe you were already smart. I was the hardest one to go to school. But,
tell.
You know, Stanton was, you know, all the
we
rest
went
of the
to thing. Different tracks. Stanley. Went to what trade tech, a national school or something like that,
yeah.
And from there he went to the service, and we came back. He went back and
to school
as a technician,
yeah.
And then he take what 6 years later on spent 6 years in adult school,
mm-hmm.
and night school to get his degree in engineering
from UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a bookworm type of. So I went from there to UCLA to
directly.
Yeah.
From high school to UCLA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I went into the service. No, I went to service first and then went into UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And got my BA, and then I went to Berkeley for my MBA there.
Mm-hmm.
So my interest was in the business end, although I became a math teacher later on.
Was there any concern that getting into these more American-like endeavors, really, outside of Chinatown, that the jobs would really be there when you came out, like with an MBA and then
well, the jobs still weren't
like
there,
that?
But we had to go, you know, continue. Someone had to make the effort. I think like the earlier Chinese, some people became pharmacists and couldn't get a job anyway, but
yeah.
they went over. They went, became engineers, you can't get a job as an engineer.
Yeah,
they
precisely.
Still went. But they still went, you know, like the first wave, they didn't
okay.
make any bigger. The second wave,
but was that the
that.
Concern that when you choose the field that, you know, gee, if I will find a job
yeah.
ever?
Well, the concern was that when we went into school, you know, you really didn't know what to take, and they what they said at those days was, you're more acceptable when you take engineering. You're more apt to get hired as an engineer,
mm-hmm.
more than in any other business. So that's why a lot of the...
But not as a Chinese, or
as a Chinese, if you could come out, there's more work open up to you as an engineer or in the technical field
mm-hmm.
than if you take something else like what Stanton would have taken, okay, or in the pharmacy.
Not in the 1940s and 50s. Engineering wasn't in everyone's mind then.
When those people that was going through, not everybody's mind, but those people that went to college, okay, the discussion that we had at that time was that what's available to you when you came out of school. Okay, what they said at that time was that the technical thing. In the 40s, late 40s. I graduated from high school in 47.
So you were comparing like to pharmacists or doctors,
lawyers.
We
didn't know what to do. You know, when you went out to school, you know, like now people go to school because they want to go to school. Well, we had to go to school. We had to work and then go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So the desire was that when you come out, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much counseling
mm-hmm.
like George when he went into the service and he was in his whole camp that they were supposed to, as a radio technician, to go through Burma, so forth. And he had the highest IQ in the whole camp. I think it was 160 something.
Is that right?
George.